Welcome to TerryWilson3.com.
This is the Terry Wilson, really?
Hey, Tony, this is Terry Wilson with TerryWilson3.com. How are you?
You personally are calling me back.
Get ready to discover, develop, and monetize your skills and talents with Terry Wilson.
Thank you, Christopher B. This is Terry Wilson, and I am back off the road. I am out of the RV. I'm actually back in the studios, not back off of vacation, but I'm back at the studio here for a couple days, and then we go right back out. As a matter of fact, tonight we leave back out, my wife and I, for a little bit of adult time, enjoying some comedy. I'm a big Jerry Seinfeld fan. I think he is one of the best. Now, of course, Mr. Chris Root, funny man Chris at chrisroot.com that you'll see on the podcast. We love his comedy. We have to. He's my brother-in-law. But no, I even if he wasn't, I'm just saying that. He's funny. He really is. But as far as just the architect of modern humor to me, the way to turn a phrase, I mean, just such a smart comedian, the way he phrases things, he sets things up. Multiple punchlines within a particular narrative that he's laying out. Jerry Seinfeld. I'm just a huge Jerry Seinfeld fan, I guess. And so I love his stuff. Always been a fan. And we like his stuff. So tonight, this is May the 16th. I'm recording this early in the morning because later on this evening, my wife and I, we're going to go up to Asheville, spend the weekend up there, and watch Seinfeld and enjoy Asheville for a while. But we just got off the road, and I'm going to tell you what. If there was one, there's a lot of reasons I love being a laptop entrepreneur, you know, someone who can manage their entire business from a laptop. And I would have to say what I just experienced over the last three and a half weeks has to be right up there as reason number one, two, or three. I mean, to go and see the country, we saw things that was just absolutely amazing. Now, of course, some of you guys in the listening audience and you TW3 members that live out in the Southwest, it's everyday life for you to see the Painted Desert or Utah or Colorado or Arizona or the Riverwalk misspelling B down there in San Antonio. But for us folks here in the Southeast, you know, affectionately referred to as just good old boy Southerners, man, you guys live in a beautiful part of the country. Absolutely gorgeous. And so my wife and five children and Alicia, our adopted sixth child, that's Reagan's significant other. We got to tour. And of course, we can't forget Flynn, our wonderful dog. But we got to tour the country, 6,800 miles. Good Lord. I drove a lot, man. I tell you what, I'm still waking up in the middle of the night going, oh, where are we going? Thinking I've got to drive again. But it was an experience. We probably won't do it every year. I felt like a cross between Robin Williams in RV and Chevy Chase in National Lampoon's Vacation with all the driving, the children and all of that. But man, what a great time. And I tell you what, if there was ever something to motivate you guys that are family folks that, want to spend more time with your children, want to spend more time with your spouse, want to spend more time with those you care about and you love, then take control of your career. I'm developing a teaching that I'm actually going to be speaking on at my local church here in the coming weeks, talking about the way we think. And it's something that Jordan Peterson, Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, if you don't listen to any of his stuff, it's pretty high shelf psychological stuff. You have to sometimes stop and look up a word he's using because he does like to drop these 50-cent words all the time, you know, archetypes and hierarchy. And, I'm like, what is he talking about? But man, he is a brilliant, he's a trained clinician and psychologist and professor. But I would put him in the category of a sociologist, political scientist, polyscientist, in several other categories, because he's just an historian, theologian, even in some sense of the matter. But he's talking about, and I haven't got the idea developed yet, but the way we learn the way we formulate our ideas, the way we can really drill down on creative things, things we want to create. And entrepreneurialism is all about being creative and creating value and creating products and creating new strategies to get in front of people. That's, I mean, if you want to know at the crux of the matter, at the genesis of anything great when it comes to business and entrepreneurialism, it starts with a creative concept. And so many times people, that's one of the objections a lot of people have about getting involved in entrepreneurialism, is like, well, I'm just not that creative. Well, you don't have to be. You just have to execute on someone else's creative strategy. But the more you can sharpen, and by the way, I've got a way, a training on You Are a Creative Genius. You can go to TerryWilson3.com in the top right-hand corner of the search bar. Just go over there and search Creative Genius. And it's about a 30-minute training webinar I did 5 or 6 years ago. Has it been that long? It might be only 3 or 4 years. But talking about you are a creative genius, and a lot of times people don't understand what creativity is, what it's not. You set the bar way higher than you think you have. You know, most people assume they have to in order to be able to create something. And I use that analogy. There's about 4 chords that every pop song from the last 40 years, whether it be in country, rock, R&B, you name the genre. In the last 40, 50 years, these 4 chords are used in just about it. And it takes this group and a guy and 2 other guys, and he's sitting down at a piano and he's playing the same chord progression over and over and over again. And all he does is change up the cadence a little bit, the timing a little bit, but it's the same progression. And they rattle off 40 different, 50 different songs right there that are top 40 hits that you are going to recognize. And the whole point of the matter is every one of these are independently songs that won awards, that topped Billboard charts, topped all different types of charts, that the people that sung them, the people that wrote them, made money, had accolades in their own industry, or, you know, culture or whatever. And if they would have sat at home and was like, well, I got to come up with a whole new chord structure, they would have never gone anywhere. And my point is, being creative doesn't necessarily mean you have to pull something whole cloth out of thin air and start from scratch. It means maybe you got a new twist on an old idea. You can create your own thing. And so that's the whole point of that training. So go check that out. But at the my point of the matter is, our entrepreneurialism is at its core, at its genesis, at its very soul of what it is, it's creativity. That's why I love working with musicians, because I tell them, I say, all you have to do is learn this new instrument, you know, this software, this technology, and learn this new chord structure and rhythm pattern, which is business. And you get that's your instrument, that's your chart. Now go write your song, go write your $1 million song, go write your, you know, $10,000 a week in passive income, because you can. I'm living it. And you can too. And gosh knows, if anybody knows me, they just laugh all the time. And I say, that's my secret sauce, because I tell people, if I can do this, anybody can do this. It's just, there's 2 things. And I've joined this online group because they keep pestering me to want me to join. And I finally succumbed to it because I had that kind of time, because I'm on vacation in an RV and I was on my laptop. And so it's an online group on a particular social media platform of folks who are online entrepreneurs and marketers and people that are in the blogging space and the podcasting space. And so I joined it, and I'm constantly being hit up about this, about that. You know, what do you think? What do you, you know, and I don't mind, you know, giving back to a group a little bit, but, there's a common theme I see with all of the problematic questions I see answered, or excuse me, asked on that particular forum. And it all revolves around 2 things, overcoming obstacles, overcoming resistance in their particular business they're trying to launch, and trying to figure out the quickest way to start making money. And I just said, and I was being truthful, and I wasn't being snarky. I tried not to, because I know the written text sometimes can come across. I wasn't trying to be anything but just transparent. But the person asked me a direct question. Well, what do you think? You know, they're talking about they're having this problem, this resistance in getting their blog and their podcast up and running and all this. And these aren't TW3 members, by the way. I basically tell there's two things you've got to have first before the paycheck ever comes. Number one, you got to have passion. And number two, you have to have persistence. And if you don't have a passion about what you're doing, you won't be persistent, because the minute you run into obstacles, the minute you get resistance, the minute you get rejection, you're going to quit. You're going to fold. And so if you lead, if you're motivated and you take off in doing this thing, and in this particular forum and in this particular question, it was about podcasting. I said, if you're podcasting about what you're podcasting about because you want a paycheck, then I'm telling you right now, I don't know of any podcaster, and I'm talking about big names that I've talked to at conferences and have talked to in mastermind groups I'm part of. I don't know of any of them that in their first month or two, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, was making any real money. Now they started making a little bit here, a little bit there. That is the slowest form of income growth in an online business strategy, but it's the most persistent, consistent, and long-term will help you. But that's not, you know, and I tell people all the time, when you're building a business, it's like investing. You've got short-term investments, you've got mid-term investments, you've got long-term investments. Referral marketing, which is what we have in TW3, and some of these strategies like podcasting and blogging, you've got to do, but it's going to be months, if not years, before you see any real fruit from it. There are short-term strategies you need to be doing. Of course, I could get into detail with this person because the nature of the forum we're on and the nature of the relationship. You know, that's not what I'm supposed to do there. But they took it the wrong way, or they didn't. They just didn't seem receptive of the advice, but it's true. You know, if all you're doing is podcasting about your favorite sports team, which is what they're doing, and you're expecting a paycheck next week, then it's not going to happen. And so I ask you, do you really like podcasting? Do you really like podcasting about sports in that particular? Do you like what you're doing? Are you passionate about it? Because my secret sauce of podcasting, I've been doing it, we'll be going on 11 years with TW3, and I've been podcasting a little bit longer than that. I love speaking. I love giving value. I've been teaching and training and doing things for 20 some odd years now in the context of other, you know, formats, you know, in the church and in small groups and in different things. But I have always been, my heart, my passion is to teach, to illuminate, to reveal something, to give someone that aha, to help them get to that next level they want to go in. If they are in the area that I feel like I have some means to give value in. And so I was just, if you're not passionate about what you're doing, you're not going to last. And if you are passionate about it, then just be persistent with it. Don't give up. If you'll be passionate, be persistent. And what I mean by being persistent, I don't mean doing the same thing every day, regardless of your results. I mean doing the same thing, being engaged in the same area, but trying this, trying that, trying, okay, this works. Okay, I'll continue to do this, but this don't work. So I'm going to modify this. Get help. Where do I need to modify? Find out what you're doing wrong. Persistently sharpening your skill set. If you will do that, listen, I started podcasting because I didn't want to podcast. I was actually trying to start a syndicated radio program. And I did. And I had several AM stations across the Carolinas and Georgia and all the way out through Texas that was playing my, at that time, it was called Dollars and Cents. And it was a radio program. It was a 20-minute radio program that came out on Saturday mornings. I was already recording these MP3 files. I already had the studio set up. I had my little walk-in closet off my bedroom. I was already talking about business. I was already talking about, you know, marketing. I was already talking about financial products. I was already talking about staying motivated. I was already talking about all this stuff. And someone said, you need to go ahead and put that on your blog. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, well, turn this radio program into a podcast. And so I did that. And that's when things just started exploding. So here again, I was passionate about the subject. I was passionate about the medium in which I was conveying value within that subject. And then I just fell into podcasting, and that's what I was trying to convey to this person. So, but, that's at the core, entrepreneurialism is about creativity, and creativity comes from your thinking process. And that's where I'm getting back to Jordan Peterson and what I'm developing. And I've always thought that beliefs, what you believe and the way you think are synonymous. I have been misguided in thinking and assuming that my belief system, what I believe, my belief system, and the way I think about things is the same thing. And it's not. You can believe something, but have a thought process that is completely and totally incongruent with that belief system, with that value proposition that you hold dear. You can believe that you have immense value. A lot of people don't even get to that point. But over time, through your faith, through counsel, through coaching, whatever, however you got there, through business, winning some business accolades, winning in business, winning in life, winning wherever, but you've built up this, and like I said, a lot of people, it takes a long time to get there. It takes a lifetime for a lot of people. I get that. It's taken me a long time, but you can finally get it in your down deep in your heart. Hey, I'm worth something. You are worth more is my title of my book, which you can go over to terrywilson3.com/worthmore and get. The whole premise of this business is explaining to people, you truly are worth more. You might not know it. You might not know how. You might not understand it. You might not be able to explain it, articulate it. But trust me, and that's what I try to go into the book, where your value is, how to find your value, how to present your value, how to leverage your... And TW3 is about discovering what that is, developing it, and then monetizing. That's why you see in all of my headers, TerryWilson3.com, discover, develop, monetize. Because if you'll discover your value, because you are worth more, and you'll develop the skill sets, develop your mindset to make it happen, you will be able to monetize it. But it comes in that order. And so this thing that I'm developing for, and it'll probably leak out into some of the live podcasts and some things I'm doing, because normally when I'm developing a ministry product, teaching, training, it's going to come over into the business world, because it's applicable. It's applicable to the business world, because you have to have a thought process that allows you to succeed. Closing a sale, growing a business, managing people, articulating your value, and growing that value is all contingent about how you think. You might have the belief system. You might have knowing your heart of hearts, I'm worth more, I can do more, I'm going to do more. You can have it, but you have a thought process that is undermining that belief system. And if you don't get your thinking right, you will start deteriorating, undermining, and killing that belief. And that's why so many people, you know, because I did a teaching a year ago about, you know, why it's important to believe, have a strong belief system in yourself, in who you are and what you're about, in your God. You have to have a strong belief system, because if you don't, that's your anchor, because you are being pulled left and right by life, by problems, by family, by people. I mean, in good willing people. I'm not saying these people have nefarious agendas and motives. I'm just saying people are people. Hurt people hurt people. And we live in a world of full of hurting people, and hurting people will hurt other people, not even knowing, maybe intentionally sometimes, but a lot of times not intentionally. They just don't know. And the only way to guard yourself from that is having a strong belief system that says, I'm not going to be pulled this way, moved this way, shaken this way, because my belief system has me anchored. But your thought process can be incongruent. your thought process, the way you think, the way you process things, the way you perceive things, the way you respond to things, they can undermine. They can be like a cancer on that belief system if it's not handled. And so I'm getting my ideas together. I'm researching this, but what sparked this, like I said, was a teaching of Jordan Peterson. And he said something that was very, and I talked about it a little bit in our podcast a few weeks ago before we went on break with Chris then. But, you know, the way you learn and the way you really sharpen your thoughts and the way you really get your ideas down is you speak, you communicate. And it reminded me, I says, that is the secret of how my grandmother and my mother gave me such an affinity for scripture. Because as a young child, they made me, because I didn't want to at the time, teach the Bible. And through that process of having to teach something and not wanting to embarrass myself in front of a group of people, I had to learn, you know, the scripture. And, you know, fortunately, it didn't turn me the other way of, you know, I wish, you know, and not liking it. I actually enjoyed it and learned a lot. But it's that same process. If you ever want to learn something, teach it, because to teach something means you have to break it apart because you're going to communicate it. And that is how we learn. But it's that thought process that will either undergird or undermine our belief system. So listen, guys, when we get back from this, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the trip, what I saw, what I learned. I'm going to take some questions that was sent in while I was gone. We're just going to have a good time. I'm telling you, I feel sorry for people that have to clock in and clock out. I don't see how you do it. Entrepreneurialism is the great equalizer. If you believe you're worth more, start thinking you're worth more, because as a man thinketh, he acts and he becomes. I'll be back right after this. You know, if you've ever listened to my podcast, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. Earners are learners and leaders are readers. If you want to go to the next level, you do have to grow to the next level. And growth happens by the people you hang around and listen to the most. Seth Godin says you're the sum total of 5 people you hang around the most. And that is why you need to go to terrywilson3.com/freebook and get a free audiobook just to try out the services. Here's the deal. Over 70,000 different authors from every type of genre that you could think of. Go over there, pick one that you like, something that's going to inform you, something that's going to inspire you, something that's going to illustrate what you need to do next. Try out the service. If you don't like the service, cancel it, and you get to keep that free audiobook. But you're going to love the service, and I promise you, if you will commit yourself to listening and learning from those who have gone where you want to go, you can go there also. So go to terrywilson3.com/freebook today. Try out the service and get a free audiobook just for trying it out. terrywilson3.com/freebook. Have you ever tried a work from home business? If you have, you may be like several others. Matter of fact, 98% of people, according to Forbes magazine, who've tried and failed. Why? Well, there's several reasons, but the main reason is because most home-based businesses have no means, method, or mechanism for you to get in front of people who need, want, desire, and can afford what it is you offer. See, the unique thing about TerryWilson3.com is we put you in a position where if you can simply answer a phone, read a script, you can make money. And I'm not talking about going and selling pills, thrills, lotions, and potions. I'm talking about selling something that every business, everyone who has a product, good, or service needs. And that is a lead generation marketing system. But here's the cool thing. You never cold call. You never have to recruit your friends, family, and foes. You simply take a call, read a script. Want more information? Go to terrywilson3.com/call center right now to get more information. That's terrywilson3.com/call center.
And now back to our show with Terry Wilson.
So we're back in the studios, and I'm going to tell you something. I love coming home from vacation, but I hope I never have to come home to what I had to come home to. this time, it's funny. I should take a picture and put it on the this episode. This is episode 367, by the way, and we're talking about what are we talking about? I think we're just doing a debriefing from. I haven't even titled this, and I'll go into why. And I don't know what the title will be, but we'll put a title up. So I apologize for being a little unprepared for this episode, but I'll tell you why. I pre-recorded the episodes I needed to while I was on the road, and I knew I'd be back in time to get this out before Thursday, before it's supposed to go out. And I'm recording this at Thursday Eastern Standard Time of 1:13 a.m. on May the 16th. And as soon as it's recorded, I'm going to finalize it and send it on out, because that's when the pre-recorded episodes go out. They go out on Thursday mornings. This was supposed to be recorded Monday or Tuesday night after I got back, and it wasn't. Here's the reason why. When we left, Reagan's significant other was coming in and feeding the cats and coming in, making sure the mail was taken care of and just checking on the house and all that other stuff. And she came in a few days after we had been gone, and she sent me a picture and said, Terry, your lighting truss in your studio fell, and it's knocked down all your lighting. The microphone's been knocked down. And so she sent pictures. So my studio is in a little bit of disarray right now. Not too much damage, but... well, it made a mess. I'll just put it that way. But you can't see it when you watch the live recordings. But there is you can see that lighting truss if you go over to like my Facebook page, and you'll see there's a little lighting bar that goes and it sort of outlines the L-shaped desk of our studio. That came somehow detached. We thought we were in a stud, and we weren't. On one end of this bar, and because of that, the chain that was sort of holding it up, because we've got sort of an industrial look in our office, the chain that was holding it up let go. And when it let go, because it's got some weight on this lighting truss, it's got our studio lights hanging, it's got some rope lighting for decorative purposes and all that other stuff, and so it came crashing down on the desk, which knocked off it knocked off Reagan's mic. It knocked off Chris and Lindsay's mic. It squished my mic. And I've got sheetrock dust and wood paneling all over my Yamaha. What is that? Yamaha MG12XU mixer. However, it is working. That's one of the reasons I was going to record this. And so I had to make a way to my desk and clean up a little bit in tomorrow. When we get back this weekend from the Seinfeld weekend excursion, we're going to fix this, I guess. And then I've got some other stuff to do, and then we'll be back live, 1st of June, and I'll be sending out an email and text. If you want to join our text alert and be on our live podcast and be able to ask us questions, you can text the word at TW3podcast. That's the at sign, not the word at, but the at sign at TW3podcast. Text that to 81010, and then you'll get an immediate form back that says, you know, put in your name, number, and email address here. Give us permission. Of course, you can say stop at any time if you don't want any more text alerts of when we're going live. And I also do some live streaming from time to time. I was able to do one while I was out on the road. And so anytime I do any of these impromptu question answers, I send out a text as well. So you can do that. But that's what I came back to. And I was like, oh, no. So that was a little bit aggravating. But, you know, that's part of being an entrepreneur. You know, I can't throw my hands up and blame the boss or blame the company or blame it. It's all me. And I tell people all the time, you can't take the good from entrepreneurialism if you're not willing to take the bad. And the bad is sometimes these things happening and costing you money, costing you time, costing you frustration. And you can't just, and that's to me the biggest mind shift that a lot of people have to go through. Not everybody. You guys who've been in real estate and insurance, you're pros at this, you know this. But sometimes people who work a 9-to-5 corporate job, it's not, hear me on this. This is not a reflection on the quality of people. Okay. I would be the same way anybody would. But when you're in that environment, you're conditioned to know, okay, here's my responsibilities. Here are their responsibilities, right? So I'm just here to do this because it's their company. I'm building their future. It's not my future. It's their business. It's their bottom line. It's their investments. It's their, you know, so as the employee, it's a trade-off. I'm here to get that paycheck they're promising me, and all I've got to do is X, Y, Z. When you become an entrepreneur, you are the business owner. It is your business. It is your future. It is your dream. You get all of the amenities that come with being the business owner. I get the top pay. I get to go off anytime I want. I get to take as much vacation time. I don't have to ask anybody when and where and how I can be, what to say, who to say it to, how much time do I get off. I get every, and I can make as much, it doesn't matter what the politics are. It doesn't matter. The rules of this business will be dictated by me. Everything. I get all of that. That is total and complete freedom, but it comes at a cost. You're responsible. And that is a huge mind shift that we work with guys sometimes when you in that environment where you've been an employee your whole life, it takes a little bit of adjusting. It would me too. It would take anybody. So don't hear it as a criticism, but I encourage anyone. I encourage anyone that's listening to this podcast. You know, I'm not telling you to jump headfirst into entrepreneurialism, but I am saying you need to notch out a time, a couple hours a day, whether it's TW3 or whatever. I don't care. I believe everyone was created for, by, and with the purposes of greatness. And you have intrinsic value living on the inside of you. You're not a cosmic accident, but you're a meaningful specific. You know, you're not the results of lightning striking a mud puddle and you crawling out billions of years later, but you are the results of a creator that had you in mind at the very beginning. And because of that, you have intrinsic value. And the only way you'll ever be able to leverage your value, the only way you'll ever be able to experience that value that's living on the inside of you is you being able to take control of it and have full rights to it. And as long as you're selling it off to someone else, you're not getting the better end of the trade. I don't care. You could be a doctorate in whatever. You could be the highest paid doctor, the highest paid lawyer, the highest paid engineer, highest paid. If as long as you're working for someone else, they have the keys to the kingdom. They can change at any moment. I can't tell you how many friends I've got. I've got family members. I've got people that wallpaper my office with their degrees and accolades that they have. And God love them. They're smart, way smarter than I am. They work for big corporations, colleges, and stuff like that. And I have walked with them long enough to see how their lives can be turned upside down just because one CEO or one executive or one board member comes in, makes a couple changes, and all of a sudden their life is miserable. Because as long as you're working for someone else, that someone else has always got your future in their hands. Now, you want to talk about, because, you know, one of the pushbacks of entrepreneurialism, one of the pushbacks of this forum I was talking to about, you know, the, early on in the show where, you know, I would love to go full time with this. It's just, I need a paycheck. And, you know, I'm wanting to do this. I get that. And the reason why a lot of people don't try to do something on their own is because they're afraid. And that's a natural, it is, you would be crazy not to be afraid, okay? You'd have to be suicidal not to be afraid to go out on your own and try to do something. But I ask you this, I ask you to consider this, I ask you to think about this. What's more fearful? What is scarier? Taking a risk on you, but a mitigated risk. In other words, that's why I say don't go head first into entrepreneurialism. Keep your one foot in that quote unquote, air quotes here, secure job while you're building your thing. But an eye toward the future of one day you having control over your future. What's scarier? taking a little bit of risk on mitigated risk on yourself to one day have something, or constantly forever and ever always having someone else be in charge, be in control, their ideas, their values dictating where you're going to be next week, next year. How many people that have had quote unquote state and federal jobs with state and federal benefits only to find out come retirement that some bureaucrat in at the state capitol or in Washington, D.C. decided to invest that retirement fund into this, and now it's not what it was supposed to be. See, there's this misnomer that I think people buy into that you just got to get out of. There is no such thing as a secure, guaranteed job or future. It's all up in the air. But my argument to anyone all the time has always been, who do you trust more, yourself or someone else that's going to look out for your best interest? Who do you think that CEO is going to worry about more when it comes crunch time with numbers and hard decisions have got to be made? Your retirement, your future employment, or maintaining his quote unquote golden parachute? I'm amazed how just giving people a little bit of sense of security, and that's all these quote unquote 9-to-5 gigs do, has wooed people into forfeiting, giving up on their own sovereignty. Think about it, folks. Think about it. Listen, we went out to the Southwest. I'm going to change gears now. I'm going to get off my soapbox. We went out to the Southwest, and I'm getting a lot of emails. Terry, what was your favorite? What would you recommend if me and my family wanted to go? And I want to tell you, there's a couple things that I would just tell you, you've got to go see. If you've never been to the Southwest, now, if you're from there, you're going to be laughing. But for you guys in the Northeast, the Southeast, the Midwest, and you've never been to the Southwest, here's my favorites. Number one, we went through the southern part of Texas to get out to the Southwest. We were going through Dallas-Fort Worth initially. We're going to go to the Stockyards. But a member of ours, we call her Miss Spelling Bee, because she's always catching me and all of my faux pas of spelling things wrong and grammatically just making all kinds of mistakes, which I will do. And I'll probably do on this particular podcast. So look for it. Episode 367. Matter of fact, be the first one to point out a grammatical error or spelling error, and I will send you a $300 restaurant certificate and free food. Go out to Outback, go out to Olive Garden, something like that. So be the first one to point that out, and you'll get that. So I'm seeing how many people's listening. Anyway, she, Miss Spelling Bee, said, you got to go to San Antonio, Terry. San Antonio is where the Riverwalk is. You've got to see the Riverwalk. If you don't go to see the Riverwalk, you don't even come to Texas. I don't know what kind of term she put it in, but that's what I heard. And then I ran it by Chris, funny man, Chris Roop at chrisroop.com. He went to seminary out in Dallas. I think a Southwest seminary, ministered out there for many years, knows Texas. And I says, what do you think? He's, you got to go to the San Antonio. And then a friend of mine, attorney friend of mine, he says, you got, matter of fact, he invited him and his wife invited me and Gina to go with them during Christmas out to the, so everybody's talking about going to San Antonio, go to the Riverwalk and all this other stuff. When I think San Antonio, I think of one thing and one thing only, the Alamo. You know, that's how much I know, and the Spurs. I'm a sports fan. But I said, okay. So we went out there and then we immediately fell in love. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. So my top places that I have seen, I would say San Antonio is probably in the top three. I can't decide, you know, because we were only there for, half a day. We did the Alamo. We did the Riverwalk. We walked around town for a little bit. Best fajitas in the world. the Hispanic lady who took our order just laughed her tail off, because I always get, when I go to a Mexican restaurant here in the Southeast, whether it be in Atlanta, whether it be in Greenville or in Charlotte, North Carolina, I always order the same thing. Give me your Texas fajitas. That's what we call it in the Southeast. So when I go out there, I said, I'll have your Texas fajitas. And she just looked at me and said, what? She says, what do you want on it? I said, I want the steak, the shrimp, and the chicken. She goes, oh, you want fajitas. I forgot. I guess if you're in Texas, that's how they do it. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Good Lord. These people invented this food. I'm telling you, it was the greatest fajitas I've ever had in my life. The river walk was beautiful. My wife and I, we already checked it off. We're flying back out there and spending a weekend out there just because it was beautiful. So Miss Spelling Bee, we'll call you when we're coming, because we can maybe hook up and have dinner one night or something. But it was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Going to be my top three. Another area that was just absolutely, you've got to go to. I didn't realize that all of these, one of my favorite, and I'm going to tell myself, one of my favorite cartoons, it comes from Disney's Pixar, Cars. Love Cars, love the soundtrack. I love the whole thing, the nostalgia of Route 66 and all that. I'm just a huge thing. All of those backdrops of that cartoon was inspired, just like these westerns, of Sedona, Arizona. Sedona is gorgeous. You got to go to Sedona. Got to go to Sedona. It's absolutely breathtaking how beautiful it is. Okay. So Sedona, you got to go. If you're saying, okay, I'm going to Arizona, should I go to Phoenix? Should I go to, some other place? Where would you go? The Painted Desert. I love Painted Desert. Went there, went to the Petrified Forest, Painted Desert, did Phoenix, did, what's the one place that I always joke that I don't like, but I really do like. It's just Flagstaff. The places in Flagstaff was beautiful. Did a lot of places in Arizona, but the one place just stood out, just absolutely gorgeous, was Sedona. Probably the place I would say Sedona would probably be first. Riverwalk would be second. And the third place shocked me. Okay. And so if you're from the state, don't get mad. Okay. Because I just, this is not a disparaging remark against a particular religion, but when I thought Utah, I just thought, okay, Mormons, you know, Latter-day Saints, you know, we'll go hear a choir. I had no idea the landscape of Utah. It just, I mean, I'm from the Southeast. It just didn't occur to me. Utah is absolutely breathtakingly gorgeous. The whole state, the whole entire state. But we went to one particular place I want to bring out and highlight, and that was Moab, Utah. And we did the arches in Moab and did the hiking there. Absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous. So if those are my probably top three. I wished I could have seen more of Colorado. By the time we got into Durango and areas in Denver, bad weather had set in. We were in a 32-foot motorhome, and just I did not want to go down some of those mountains or up those mountains in snow and back down. Someone asked me, what was it like driving? I said, it was like trying to steer an elephant that was balancing on a bowling ball. It just was, it's very top heavy. And so we decided to forego a lot of the Colorado stops. So I miss, so Colorado got the short end of the stick of our trip. Kansas, there wasn't a lot in Kansas. I'm just going to be honest. You know, we did do Kansas City, did a breakout room in Kansas City. But because we were in an RV, couldn't find a lot of parking. But I wanted to go to a Royals game, but it just didn't work out that they were in town when we was coming through. However, we stayed at a KOA right outside of Kansas City and noticed a Prevost bus that was pulling about a 22-foot trailer that had two BMW convertibles in it. And I was like, good Lord, that's $1 million rig. Pulling two cars is worth a few hundred thousand dollars. What is going on? And little inside information I got from the guard, that was one of the Kansas City Royal pitchers who stays there because he doesn't know how long he's going to be with Kansas City. And so rather than get in an apartment or try to live in the city, him and his whole family lives there, him and his wife and baby. And so he just drives a motor. And I said, I wonder how many professional athletes do that. They just buy a big motor rig and they pull it, you know, their motorcycles or their cars or whatever. And then they just stay wherever they need to stay. It was gorgeous. And we stayed right beside him. It was one of the, I don't know who, but he said it was one of the Kansas City Royal pitchers that had a 1-year contract, but didn't know if it's being renewed or something like that. And you know how baseball and professional sports go. So that was Kansas City. And then we got to St. Louis. And I'm going to tell you, St. Louis is my kind of town. I loved, loved, loved St. Louis. Went to a Cardinals game, watched them play the Pirates. Went for about 6 innings. The food there was incredible. Went to the museum, the Children's Museum, which is a just incredible museum. Went to the Arch, of course. Of course, I'm scared of heights and got very nervous sitting up there looking out this little window of the Arch. And so I looked at it, took a couple pictures, and then walked over to the side and said, I'm ready to go whenever you guys are. So all my kids and wife made fun of me, of course. But that was our trip. And then, of course, from St. Louis, we went, came on down to Louisville, Kentucky. Went by and saw the Louisville Slugger, went by and saw the Kentucky Derby and the where the race there, and then came on home. And so that was our trip, and it was a great time. I will tell you this, it was an expensive trip, we burned on average a couple hundred, $200-$300 a day in fuel. The rental of the RV was rather expensive. But here's the thing, guys. And me and my wife, we just sort of stopped and winked at each other and said a little prayer of thanks. We actually came back with more money in our pockets than we left because we have a business that's on autopilot and running nonstop for us and can be managed from a laptop. And we shared stories of how our lives have just changed so much from where we were just about 11, 12 years ago to where we are today. And it's because of the goodness and the grace of our Lord. But what he uses through us is these tools and these strategies that we've been graced to be able to master and help other people. And I'll tell you, if you've ever thought about doing something, the economy is roaring right now. Lowest unemployment in 50 years now. But that doesn't mean people aren't underemployed. There's always people out there. You yourself probably right now have a job. But you, if I could show you a way to double your income in the next 6 months to a year, would it be worth an investment in learning how? And an investment in some tools and training and getting started? Because I'm telling you, you could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be an engineer, you could be whatever. But you're always going to be tied to someone else until you have your own thing. And I'm not telling you what that thing needs to be. You might want to do podcasting like me. You might want to do blogging. You might want to do just straight up sales. You might want to do a non-sales. You might want to do coaching. You might have a passion for ministry and coaching and helping others. Whatever it is that you want to do and feel the most called to do, it takes tools, training, and strategy to get in front of people, because at the end of the day, that's what you got to have. And that's what these tools offer. When I get back right after this, I'm going to go into some things that are coming up that we're doing at TW3 that I really think you will want to be a part of. And we're going to announce our upcoming live podcast for you to be on. And we've got some new exciting products for TW3 members. So stay tuned for that. We got more information on that. And what else have we got? Yep, new tools, new training, some stuff coming on, and some other things I'll announce right after this. So there's two things that I use on a daily basis to make more money, make more sales. Because I have learned over 20 some odd years of being an entrepreneur is most people do not make a significant purchase the first time they hear about it, or even the second time. As a matter of fact, it normally takes 6 encounters with a client before they will ever decide to pull the trigger on anything. How do you scale a business if you can't automate that process?
One of the things and tools that I use is AWeber, which is an automatic email marketing system. Right now, you can get a 30-day free trial by going to terrywilson3.com/AWeber. That's terrywilson3.com/AWeber, AWeber, and try their services out. I think you're going to really like it. And if you decide to keep it after 30 days, they'll give you a discount for using that code. Go to terrywilson3.com/AWeber right now and put your marketing and your sales process on autopilot.
So how would you like to put your income on autopilot? You know, you've heard several online marketing gurus say the loot is in the list. And it is true. Email marketing done correctly will amass you thousands, if not millions of dollars. Part of my affiliate CPA and referral marketing business that I do, that I bring in thousands of dollars a week, is done by email marketing. But if you're just starting out, which systems do you use? What script do you use? How do you even get emails? All of those things make it tough when you're first getting started. So go over to terrywilson3.com/MDEMS. I wrote an ebook called The $1 Million Email Marketing System. And it's a book and it's also video formulas and things there that's going to illustrate exactly what to use, how to use it, where to go to get certain emails that you need, how to present those emails when you send them out. Everything you need to do to start your own email marketing business and bringing that in as part of your strategy on how to make money, you can get by going to terrywilson3.com/MDEMS. That's terrywilson3.com/MDEMS.
And now back to our show with Terry Wilson.
I tried a different sequence there. I thought I'd let Bobby B talk at the end of that. Anyway, that's me messing around. Hey, we got some great things that's coming up. First of all, let me get you that date on the next live podcast. The next live podcast will be on June the 3rd. June the 3rd. You will want to be at terrywilson3.com/livepodcast. That's at terrywilson3.com/livepodcast. Our next recorded podcast, episode number 368, will come out next Thursday on, May 23rd. And then I'm going to have another pre-recorded podcast on May 30th. And then we go live back on June 3rd, and then, of course, June 6th, we'll have another pre-recorded. So the way this thing works is on Monday nights, it's live. You can talk to some of my members. You can ask questions to me, ask questions to them. Because it's one thing for me to say, hey, I'm making this, I'm doing this, I'm enjoying this. And then, you know, the natural reaction would be, well, that's you, Terry. What about other people? Is this something that anybody and everybody can do? Do other people make, and so you can go on there. I mean, we got people that just joined a month or two ago on a regular basis, knocking down a couple $1,000 a week already. We've got members that's been with us for years, knocking down $5,000 to $10,000 a week on a regular basis. We've got members who've been with us, you know, for a year, you know, making a few thousand, $4,000 or $5,000 a week. We've got members who've been with us a long time, and because they're elite trainers, they've got a passive income and residual income portion to their business that we've helped them build. And they have about $15,000 a month just on residual income. And by the way, this isn't MLM. It's not network marketing. I'm not making a judgment on those types of businesses. But we started in the insurance and financial planning and securities business, and that's a big no-no. You can't be involved in those businesses and have your security license. Now, I don't have my security license anymore, but at one time I was marketing security and those kind of things. So anytime you hear someone, well, TW3 is network marketing. No, it's not. Okay. You know, get a clue. You know, I'm amazed at how people will formulate an opinion with no education behind it, but that's what the internet's for, I guess. But anyway, I wanted to answer a couple of questions. And by the way, that, so the June 3rd is the next live podcast, and we'll send you a link to that. If you want to be a part of it, just text the word at TW3 podcast to 81010. And we'd love to have you on there. You can type in questions and I or one of my panel will answer it, or one of the members will answer it. But you can watch and hear from those guys that have been with us, and they can testify to their own experience, and you just don't have to take my word for it. And so that's a great time, and we like to cut up. So Monday nights is to have fun, and what we're talking about is revealing the lifestyle of entrepreneurialism and what it affords people to do. It's not very training. Sometimes it can be training, but a lot of times it's just talking about a particular topic. Thursdays, I try to do more of a outline. This is what I'm talking about, training. Today was a little more impromptu just because I was so knocked off from the studio collapsing. And by the way, I was the one who hung the light truss. I tell you, don't hire me to do architectural work. But anyway, so that, and then TW3 members, we've got some exciting new addendums to your product line. One of the things is we teach you how to build a funnel, a sales funnel. And we also go in and show you how we can do it for you if you want us to set it up for you. We're advancing some of our funnels and giving even more integration and more, sophistication on how they're designed, laid out, having a live Autobot, you know, helping answer questions through these funnels and stuff like that. And we will be releasing those in June. So you will want to come to the membership trainings in June, because we'll be talking more about that. Okay. And so, and of course, everything we're showing you, you can build yourself with the tools we have at TW3. But if you want to one of our designers and marketers to do it for you, so you can, you know, jumpstart your business, we would be more than happy to show you how we can do that as well. I wanted to answer a few questions before I got out of here. One of them was from Chris. He says, Terry, I just started wanting to podcast and wanted a real authentic question answered, and I knew you would answer it. How would you rate your first podcast that you launched and put on iTunes? How would you rate it? And here's how I would rate it. It was atrocious. It was terrible. It was the worst, most embarrassing thing I've probably ever done in business. That's how I would rate it. And most people, most podcasters, I was just listening to Pat Flynn today over at Smart Passive Income. And he was talking about his first podcast he did. He was so embarrassed by how it sounded, his own voice, how he communicated, the quality of it, that it took him another 3 or 4 months before he recorded his second episode and even get the courage to do it again. And this guy is knocking down a few hundred thousand dollars a month. Okay. So guys, let this serve as a piece of encouragement for you. You are not going to be good at anything you do the first time. Statistically speaking. Now there's some savants out there that, I mean, you pee and poop gold. Okay. But for the rest of us, it don't happen that way. Okay. And you gotta be okay with that. You gotta be okay with being a little bit foolish. You gotta be okay with just embarrassing yourself, and you will. I can't do what I do and not just constantly step in it. One of the reasons why I was from San Antonio, I was giving a hard time, you know, through some of the podcasts and stuff. I laugh at it because she's right. Terry, this is misspelled. And some of the most simple things. I misspell Lindsay's name half the time on the live podcast in a little name tag at the bottom. I get busy and I just mistype Lindsay. And I know how to spell her name. It's just an oversight. I'm going too fast. Not taking the time I should. But the point is, we all have, Paul had that thorn in his side. You know, we all have that thing, that thorn, or a thorn in the flesh. We all have something that just sort of keeps us humble. You just got to be okay with it. And the first time, so Chris, the first time I created a podcast, it was like Hee-Haw met Larry the Cable Guy trying to alliterate and communicate like T.D. Jakes. How's that? Because I come from the church world, and so I'm just always, I was in preacher mode, which I shouldn't have been. And it just wasn't natural. I didn't know how to create an outline. Today's podcast, it's all improv. I don't have a sheet of notes in front of me, but I've been doing it long enough. I had an idea of what I was going to talk about. I've been gone. I haven't, even though you guys have been getting a podcast once a week for the last several weeks, I haven't done a podcast since the last live podcast, which was over a month ago. So because I've been away so long, I got so much to talk about. I could go 2-3 hours and talk, but that wouldn't help you. But the point is, most of the time, it took me a long time to figure out how to put an outline together, how to create content that would be of value that people would want to listen to. So it's going to take time. So don't worry about it. As they say in the Northeast, I think in New York specifically, they even got it on their signs. Forget about it. So here's another question, if I can get to it here. What is stopping most people from going full-time into an online business? Well, what's stopping them is basically, and this is going to sound so dismissive and passive, but what's stopping them is they just don't start. You got to start. The hardest thing to do is get started in anything. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start working out. I've done committed to Reagan and my son and my other son and my wife. I'm going to go get a gym membership, and I'm going to go at least 4 times a week. I've got to get in better shape. Not for any other reasons, just so I feel better. You know, that hiking the first few days kicked my butt. And I was like, man, this is embarrassing. I ain't that old. But the hardest part of doing it is just doing it, just getting started. Talk to anybody that does anything. You know this. The hardest thing to do is get started. And what keeps people from getting started most of the time is either fear or complacency or some sort of other negative emotion or mindset that it's all in the mind. You know, as a man thinketh, so is he. It's all how you think. But you just got to get started. And once you get started, you got to be passionate about what you're doing. You got to be persistent about what you're doing. And if you're not passionate about it, you won't be persistent. And if you're not persistent, forget about getting a paycheck. So that's my answer. What type? Let's see here. I'm not going to answer that one. I'll answer one more. And then what are the biggest reasons you say no to a potential client? I hear on your podcast from time to time that you advise and you yourself turn people down for joining your business or buying your products or services. That is a great question, Tom. We have in the way I teach my members is in their, what we call a sales funnel, which is basically a multi-stepped process of taking a prospective client from one informational page to another informational page. Is we ask them to fill out a survey. Matter of fact, I train, don't even talk to them until they do. Because if you're not willing to take, 3 minutes to fill out a 10 questionnaire survey, then how committed are they? Our process, number one, is a vetting process. And so we're going to send 1,000 people to a funnel, and 30 of them, or 300 of them are going to click through and go through. And then out of that 300, maybe, 150 of them are going to finally fill out the survey. So that survey then gives us, and we're asking pointed questions, and you can go back and listen to some of my other podcasts. I did a podcast a few weeks ago talking on, I think it was episode 363 on how to recruit and hire eagles instead of turkeys. I ask people pointed questions to get them to think about what they truly want. And I try to say it in a way that's not offensive, but compelling them to be as transparent, even if they don't know they're having to be transparent to answer it. And then through the way they answer those questions, I advise my clients, okay, does this fit your personality type? Can you work with this type? Because there's not a profile necessarily that I would say recruit these types and don't recruit these. It's about you. You know, some of my trainers at TW3 love highly technical, proficient people, and they will work with them on their sales and marketing and business skill set. And I've got other trainers that want people that are highly, highly, high business acumen, know how to sell, and they will work with them on their technicals or some combination of both. So, you know, you want to, because everybody comes with some deficiencies, your clients, your prospective clients, according to what value you offer. And it's just a matter, is that deficiency going to drain you emotionally to where it's just frustrating the pee out of you? Or can you work with it because you're so overly efficient, or you've got all of these different tools that you can help them with that it's not going to wear on you? And so that's the thing. But that, from a cursory level, that's what I would say. And then it's about character, you know. I tell people right up front, show your dirty laundry and get the ugliness of your business up front and see if they can deal with it. Like, the ugly part of our business is because it's all service based, it's all software based, it's not a tangible thing that we're offering. We have to go out and buy licensing and hosting and things that we don't get our money back, so we can't offer a refund to the people who buy our systems and softwares and trainings. And so that's a huge, because people, you know, in today's world, Walmart has conditioned everybody that you ought to be able to buy something, take it back if you don't like it. You can't do that with TW3. And so we tell people, our members and our trainers, put that up front, let them know. Sometimes people of lesser character will hear that, sign off on it, and then still want to break, you know, the agreement. And so we've got safety measures and things in place that will prevent that. And even if it has to be, unfortunately, refuted through chargebacks and stuff like that, we've got some safety measures that protects our members, and they ultimately get their money back. Even if clients want to break that and issue chargebacks and stuff like that. But what we tell people is if you're measuring someone up and trying to decide to do business with them or not, always do business with people of the utmost character and forget about the deficiencies they might have in business or technical, because skill sets can be developed. Character is something that you cannot give people. They have to bring with them. And so it will wear on you when you're dealing with people that are less than honest. And unfortunately, people that are under financial pressure and stress will be tempted to break their word, to be less than people of character, to quit on themselves, and then expect you to allow them to quit on you. And if you don't do that, it becomes an issue. We've been in business now for 11 years, and we've had 3 negative feedbacks in that time. And it's all around that one thing. I want to quit, and Terry won't let me have my money back. And forget about that I've had it for 3 months, 6 months, or whatever. I want to quit. I'm quitting on myself, and I expect him to let me quit on him too. You can quit on yourself, but you know, the stuff that you bought, we can't go to our server company and say, hey, you know, all that space that we bought on the server to host this software, to host this site, to host this system, you know, all these licensings we bought from these software, we need all that back. Cause they don't do that. So we can't. And we're very transparent about that up front. And so, just, I would tell you, when you're looking at who you want to do business with, I would tell you, you know, recruit, sell to, attract people of high character. And then on the skill set side, you know, just pick what's your poison. If you're a person that can, I have the patience of Job when it comes to technical support, I'll help them. Then you don't mind if they're, you know, less than technically proficient. Or Terry, I have no patience with people on the technical, but I'll work with them all day long on developing skill sets, on training of sales, marketing, and business things of that nature. Then, you know, pick your poison there. So I hope that helped. I appreciate you asking that, Tom. Great question. Guys, we're going to be back on the saddle, like I said, on June 3rd. So I hope you can be with us there, and we'll come out to the show. Like I said, if you want to get alerts to that, just text the word at TW3 Podcast to 81010. That's at TW3 Podcast to 81010. And you TW3 members, you want to pay attention coming up in June, our private membership training, because we've got some really, really, really cool stuff you're going to like. This has been Terry Wilson with TerryWilson3.com. This is episode 367. Episode 368 will come out next Thursday, so I hope you'll stay tuned. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to our show today at TerryWilson3.com. If you would like more information on how we can take your money, your business, and your life to the next level, then please visit us online at TerryWilson3.com or call 800-673-1728.
This is the Terry Wilson. Really? I'm excited, Terry. I want to get started here.
Is this a celebrity, Terry Wilson?
Oh, my word.
How you doing, sir?
Dude, don't even go there. I've been listening to this for a while, and I'm finally like, okay, guys, what a privilege. I mean...